According to a 2004 Fox News poll, 87% of Americans believe in heaven. You think, wow. But 3 out of every 10 Americans say there is no hell. Of those who deny the reality of hell, most believe that when they die, that's it. There's just no more existence. They will cease to exist. Some of the others think they'll be reincarnated. Didn't say as what. But according to these polls, 1 in 4 Americans have no idea what will happen at their death. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to talk about hell today. Hell is an important topic. What if hell is real? We are talking about our eternal future. An eternal future that affects every living person, Christian or non-Christian. Hell is a reality. One thing that this poll showed is that very few people actually believe that they are going to go to hell. I can remember, and it was here in Apopka when I was in high school, and we had, the Southeastern campaigns. I'm trying to think, there was that one young black gentleman with the big muscles on his arms, Alfred, yeah. And then there was that tall white guy with the curly hair. What was his name? I can't think. He stuffed me in basketball. So I never forgot him. But we went out in Apopka door knocking. And I was with someone in South Apopka, and we were walking down the street, and there was a young boy, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. And I stopped and I said, you know, we've got a great Bible school. You should come to our Bible school. The little boy said, my dad and I are going to go to hell together. And I said, what? Yeah, my dad says he's going to go to hell. And if my dad goes to hell, me too. That's what this little boy said. I never, ever forgot that. At least he believed in hell, didn't he? But hell is a reality. It's a real place. It's a real consequence of sin. Maybe that's the problem with a lot of people in church. We don't believe we're going to go to hell. And so we don't talk about Jesus. We don't share our faith. We don't let people know that we're Christian. We don't put Christian values first. Maybe they don't believe they're going to go to hell, or that God would send anybody to hell. Maybe that's the problem with modern day criminals. They don't believe in hell. Hebrews 9:27 and 28. Just as everyone must die and be judged. Everybody, whether or not they believe in God, whether or not they think Jesus is Lord, will stand before the throne of Jesus and be judged by God Himself. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice one time to take away the sins of many people. And He will come a second time not to offer Himself for sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. So this topic is of great concern to mankind, whether or not mankind believes it or not. These are the words of Jesus, found in John chapter 5, verse 26 through 29. And I'm going to read the New American Standard Bible. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. At the resurrection, all humankind, believers in God, Muslim, Hindu, it doesn't matter, even atheist, will stand before Jesus and be judged. Let's take a look at some more words of Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. The Son of Man will come again in His great glory with all His angels. He will be king and sit on His great throne. All the nations of the world will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them into two groups, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Son of Man will put the sheep on the right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to the people on the right, "Come, my Father has given you His blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made." You see, at the end of time, there's going to be a separation. And there's only two groups, isn't there? One group are the blessed of the Father. And when they ask why, Jesus said, "You were there to feed the hungry. You were there to give drink to people when they were thirsty. You clothed them. You visited them when they were sick. You visited them when they were in prison. Therefore, God will bless you." Now, let's see what the king said to those he put on his left. Verse 41. Then the king will say to those on his left, "Go away from me. You will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for the devil and his angels." And he told them what? "You didn't feed the hungry. You didn't give a drink to those who were thirsty. You didn't clothe those who needed clothes. You didn't visit the sick. And you didn't visit those in prison." And what did Jesus say what happened to them? Verse 46. "These people will go off to be punished forever, but the good people will go to live forever." You see, Jesus said there's either going to be punishment or those who will be blessed and live forever. Two groups. That's all. There is no third place to go. There is no third alternative. God has said through Jesus Christ, there's only two possibilities, two destinies for all of mankind. The blessed will receive the kingdom that God has prepared for them since the world was made. The others will be sent into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for who? For Satan, for the devil and his angels. The word hell, or the Greek word Gehenna, appears 12 times in the Scriptures. Only 12. You know who used the word the majority of the time? Jesus Himself preached and taught about hell. Some people these days think we in the churches of Christ shouldn't preach on hell anymore. But you know, Jesus most certainly did, didn't He? If Jesus thought it important to preach on hell, then as His servants, we should understand that hell is an important topic. It's important because there is only two places where souls will spend eternity. Now, we should find no joy in the soul that does go to hell. You know, Jesus wept. He wept over those who He knew were going to go to hell. Jerusalem. He wept over them and said, "If you only would have come, I would have taken you in like a mother hen takes her chicks. But you would not." God is sad when mankind chooses to disobey and go to hell. And we should find no joy in that as well. Remember, this is why God is being patient about sending Jesus back. This is why Jesus gives us more opportunities to preach the good news and talk to friends and talk to family, talk to neighbors, because the Bible says He is not willing that anybody go to hell. That's why He's been so patient. And who's He waiting on to get busy to do something? Isn't it us? Aren't we the mouthpiece of God? He is patient, not wanting anyone to go to hell. He's not only being patient with those who are lost, He's being patient with us who aren't willing to do diddle squat. There is an alternative to hell. It's called heaven. And this is the reason that God sent Jesus, to give us an alternative to hell. But how can they know if we don't warn them? Some people say it would be cruel, and it is cruel, for preachers to preach about hell and that people are going to go there. But I say it is cruel for us not to warn people of hell. It's cruel of preachers to think they shouldn't preach on hell. Ezekiel 33:11. This is God speaking through a prophet. Say to them, the Lord God says, as surely as I live, I do not want any who are wicked to die. I want them to stop doing evil and live. Stop. Stop your wicked ways. You don't want to die, do you, people of Israel? See, God doesn't want people to go to hell. He tries to wake you up. He says, stop doing the wicked things. Whose choice is it? It's not God's. It's our choice. And Jesus wept over the Jews who rejected His lordship. It broke His heart then, and it breaks His heart today when people reject His Son, Jesus Christ. People make bad decisions and refuse to correct them. Jesus did not remain silent about hell, nor should we, His people. You see, if hell is real, it is cruel not to warn people about it. If a bridge was out and cars were flying down the highway and didn't know the bridge is out, wouldn't we do everything we could to stop them from crossing the bridge? But yet, we're willing to let people die in sin and go to hell. What's different about it? One is more spiritual. One is more physical. It's easier to stop people from doing physical death. But both are important, but the most important is their spiritual death. And that is why Jesus preached on sin and hell. And that is why Jesus was willing to come to this earth, live as a human, to die on a cross. And as I stated this morning, part of His death on the cross was what? For the first time in Jesus' entire life as God, if you call it life, I guess it is life, Jesus was separated from the Father. Can you imagine that? Never having been separated from God the Father. And all of a sudden on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Because He bore the sins of the world. Jesus bore separation for the Father. For who? Charlie said for Him, but for all of us. That we might not be separated from God. This is in Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 43. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to lose part of your body and live forever than to have two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to lose part of your body and to live forever than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, take it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. In hell, the worm does not die. The fire is never put out. Those are his words, not mine. I would try to put that a little gentler. I don't know about you. But Jesus, the worm never dies. And the fire is never put out. Jesus is warning people about the consequences of sin. It is better to lose an eye than to spend eternity in hell. And in another passage, Jesus even said it would be better to die in this world than to sin and not enter heaven. He put it this way. This is Matthew 10:28. He says, "Don't be afraid of people who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy the soul and the body in hell." If you understand Jesus' words here, it's better to let someone kill you than to give in to sin and die spiritually. He said we should fear God and not man. When the Bible speaks of eternal punishment of sinners and unbelievers, have you heard some of the phrases that Jesus and Paul and others used? Outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unquenchable fire. Eternal fire. Where the worm does not die. Hell is a place of separation from God. And the words that are used were chosen by the Holy Spirit of God. Not by me. When Paul was describing the second coming of Jesus, it was frightening news, particularly for those who reject God. Let's listen to his words. They're found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. "And he will give rest to you who are troubled, and to us also when the Lord Jesus appears with burning fire from heaven with his powerful angels. Then he will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people will be punished with a destruction that continues forever. They will be kept away from the Lord and from his great power. This will happen on the day when the Lord Jesus comes to receive glory because of his people." I hope you were listening to that, because what did he say? Those who do not know God and those who have never obeyed the good news are those who are going to be judged. Sometimes I must say it's our fault that people don't hear. But who's going to be punished? Can you imagine how sad it would be to be separated from God? To know that God is somewhere, but that his ears are closed to our prayers? To go through eternity and never again know the closeness of God? We need to understand and to let others understand, when people close their hearts to God in this life, God will close his ear to them in the next. What can one expect of the future, particularly our eternal future? That depends on you. Let's read Romans 2, starting with verse 6 through 11. Romans 2. "God will reward or punish every person for what that person has done. Some people, by always continuing to do good, live for God's glory, for honor and for life that has no end. God will give them life forever. But other people are selfish. They refuse to follow truth and instead follow evil. God will give them His punishment and anger. He will give trouble and suffering to everyone who does evil, to the Jew first and also to those who are not Jews. But He will give glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to those who are not Jews. For God judges all people in the same way. It is clear, those who put themselves first and who refuse to follow truth but continue to do evil will be punished. According to Jesus, this punishment is for eternity. And the Bible is clear in that it warns us where sin is going to lead. God does not hide the fact. God has said clearly, sin brings death. Death is separation from God, and that means you will stay separated from God, and you will have to go to hell that had been prepared for Satan and his angels. God did not hide this fact. Sinful doings and sinful thinking can lead you astray and cost you your soul. This is the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10, starting at verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing. But you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. Why? Because it's your eternal destiny that God is worried about, and the author of Hebrews is worried about it as well. Then he goes on. If we decide to go on sinning. Now, who is this writer talking to? People of the world? He's talking to Christians. If we decide to go on sinning after we have learned the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. There is nothing but fear in waiting for the judgment and the terrible fire that will destroy all those who live against God. Let's come to the conclusion of the matter. Verse 30. We know that God said, I will punish those who do wrong. I will repay them. And He also said, the Lord will judge His people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There are times in people's lives when we keep pushing ourselves into sin. It's only one more time. One last time for old time's sakes. We keep pushing ourselves into sin over and over and over again, thinking God will forgive me, God will forgive me, God will forgive me. Yet we don't stop. They have forgotten, these people, that Jesus had to die upon a cross for them. That he had to suffer through a separation spiritually from the Father for a portion of the time that He hung upon the cross. And when you deliberately sin and continue to sin, this writer says there is no more sacrifice for you. Nothing but the fear of judgment. There is no one else who has the type of life that they can die for you and please God. If you reject the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, there is no other sacrifice. One more important thing we should be aware of. This is Revelation 10, starting at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done, and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. It's just not us that we have to be worried about. We have all family members and friends and neighbors whose names are not written in that book. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the teaching here. Some have asked, how can a loving God send anyone to hell and punish them forever? First off, remember, God did not make hell for human beings. He made it for Satan and his angels. If anyone is lost, he is lost because of his or her choice. They chose not to believe in Jesus. Each individual decides what he believes and where he will spend eternity. God must punish sin. God is holy and righteous, and he is just. Before we start claiming that God is unloving, there is something that we need to remember. God has done everything he possibly can to keep mankind from being lost. He not only told man how to live in the Bible, but he sent Jesus to suffer and die for our sins. Jesus has demonstrated undeniably God's love for his people, his creation. He did this that we would not have to suffer punishment of hell. He took our place on that cross. It was our death. It was deserved because of our sin. If there were no answer to hell, we could claim that God is unloving. But Jesus died that there might be a solution to the hell problem, the sin problem. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Actually, 3 through 7. This is good. And it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to know the truth. There is one God and one way human beings can reach God. That way is through Christ Jesus, who is himself human. He gave himself as a payment to free all people. He is proof that came at the right time. That is why I was chosen to tell the good news and to be an apostle. As Paul, I have no desire to see anyone go to hell. Not even those people who had been unkind to me. That is why I have chosen to be an evangelist, and that is why I decided to preach on hell. The loss of even one soul is tragic because it is one more soul that Satan has won into his kingdom. But are you willing to lose your life and your soul as well? There is an alternative to hell. It's called heaven. And Jesus has opened the door to heaven. And you can enter through that door. I read it this morning, but it says it all. Acts 2:37 and following. When the people heard this news about Jesus Christ, they felt guilty and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Change your hearts and lives." Change. Not stay the same. Change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do that? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away. It is for everyone. The Lord God calls to himself. And he calls all people through Jesus, but we are his mouthpiece. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, do you understand what that means? Please don't die in hell. Save yourselves. That's begging. He didn't want them to suffer. He begged them, save yourselves from this evil generation, then those people who accepted what Peter said and were baptized, about 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. Will you not this evening repent? Change your thinking, change your lives, and wash away your sins? Jesus is the answer. There is no other. Come as we stand and sing.